All right. Thanks for playing. So yes, we are going to talk this morning about superheroes and our hero of the faith, Peter. Over the year on our family Sundays, we have discussed Joseph, Daniel, today Peter, and of course, the most powerful and best superhero of all, Jesus. Again, want to remind you, if you're visiting, we only do this on the fifth Sundays. This isn't normal. I don't know that we do normal around here, but we don't really do this every Sunday. And even on a crazy day like today, we are going to go to the Word of God. And so if you need a Bible, we have some in the back. We'd love to give you one if you need one. And yes, give it to you. If you need a Bible, take this one home with you, please. So we're going to talk today about Peter. Peter. Not Peter Parker, not Peter Piper, not Peter Pan, but Peter. And I feel bad for him. I feel bad for Peter the disciple, apostle, because sometimes I think he gets a bad rap. And I think he gets a bad rap, but depending on whether you're the glass is half full or the glass is half empty type of a person, right? Because there's so much that we can look at with Peter, and it just depends on how you're going to look at it. So what are you? Are you half empty or half full? Okay. All right. I am definitely half full. I'm so half full that water is probably the best tasting water you'll ever know. It's from the fountain of youth, that water. It's holy water. That is holy water. And the glass is probably a rare crystal that belongs in a museum. That's how half full I am. And some of you, though, and you know who you are, and that's okay, you are half empty. In fact, you would say, that's not even glass. It's cheap recycled plastic. And the water's not even drinkable. It's toilet water. I knew I'd make the boys laugh. Toilet water. And it's probably full of parasites. And if you drink it, it's going to cause projectile vomiting. You know who you are. And we know who you are, and we know that if we were to drink the water and get sick, your first reaction would be, told you, I told you. So whether you're half empty, half full, we're going to look at Peter's mess ups and successes and just challenge ourselves to look at it, not half empty, half full, but the way Jesus does. Because Jesus is the one who tells us that Peter is a hero of the faith, regardless of what he did. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that you sent so much more than a superhero. You are God, and you sent Jesus to be God with us. And even as we've just celebrated that birth and your arrival, Jesus, and we head into a new year, we just pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would come and you would open our eyes to your word, that we'd behold wonderful things in your law, and that we would hear what you have to say to us as a church, but we would hear, as we just sang, you'd silence all the other noise, and each one of us, your sons and your daughters in this room would hear from you, Papa, what you have for us from the Father heart of God. We need you, and we just ask that you would bless this time. We ask that you would help us to bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so the thing to remember about Peter is that all his failures and his successes came after he was chosen by Christ to be one of his followers, in fact, one of his inner circle. And that's important for us, because if you're a follower of Christ, you have messed up, and you will mess up. I think that's why we call new believers baby Christians. Because babies make a mess. They make stinky messes. They need lots of care. They get into trouble. But look around. Look around. Some of you have turned out pretty good, right? Most of us. And God's not finished with us yet. And that's a good thing, because it's not just the babies that make a mess. Adults get into trouble too. And as we look at Peter, our hero of the faith, and our superheroes, we'll see that they have something in common when it comes to that. So here you have three superheroes. But they're three normal guys who had something happen to them which changed their lives completely. This event changed their identity and their purpose completely. You have Peter Parker, who gets bitten by a genetically modified spider, and he becomes Spider-Man. You have Steve Rogers. He was a grunt of a soldier who agreed to take the super soldier serum, and he becomes Captain America. And then the Hulk got his powers when a scientist named Bruce Banner is exposed to gamma radiation during an experiment. All three changed by an outside force or incident. Well, something like that happened to Peter as well. And again, if you're a follower of Christ, the same thing happened to you. Like it happened to me when I was 19 years old and in college. An outside force or incident. No, a person, Jesus to be exact, came into our lives and changed our identity and our purpose. So who was Peter? He was a fisherman known as Simon. He was married. He was the brother of Andrew. And when Andrew meets Jesus and believes that he is the Messiah, he takes Simon to Jesus. And John 1 says, he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter, which also means rock. And that had to be a little disconcerting, right? You meet someone for the first time and they change your name. But when you're God, you get to do stuff like that. Later, Jesus officially calls Peter to follow him. In Luke 5, Peter and his crew have been fishing all night long, no luck whatsoever, and Jesus convinces them to cast their nets one more time on the other side. Makes no sense. They do it anyway, and they catch more than they can hold. They catch enough to fill two boats. And by the end of it, the two boats are starting to sink. This miracle convinces Simon Peter that Jesus is the one that he'd been waiting for. And his reaction? He's convicted of his own sin. But when Simon Peter saw it, this miracle, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." But instead of departing from him and saying, "You know what, Peter, you're right, you are a sinner, I should probably back away from you." Instead of departing from him, he encouraged Peter to come near to him. And he said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. Jesus is an outside force coming into Peter's life and giving him a new identity and a purpose. And that's what he has done for us, if you are a follower of Christ. For the next 3 years, Peter lived as the disciple of Jesus. Now, he was a natural-born leader, and he pretty much became the spokesman for the disciples, which kind of makes his successes and his failures even more glaring, right? During those 3 years, Peter had a lot of ups and downs. One huge high point was when Jesus asked all the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And in Matthew 16, Peter's response is, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Another high point for Peter happened when he, along with James and John, were the only ones present when Jesus raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead. And then again, when Jesus was transfigured on the mountain. But remember when the disciples were in a boat, on a storm, in the middle of a storm, and Jesus walks to them. Peter cries out, "If it's you, call me to come to you." And Jesus did. And Peter got out of the boat and he walked on water to Jesus. But when he took his eyes off the Lord, He started to sink. He got scared. He yells out, "Jesus, save me!" And of course he did. Some would say he had a lack of faith, and that's why he started to sink. Others would say he is the only disciple who ever walked on water. Half empty, half full. And yes, I know. I know that Jesus himself said, "Why were you scared, oh, you of little faith?" But do you really think that in the middle of a storm, Jesus is scolding the only disciple who believed in him enough to take steps onto the water? I see in that question the heart of a parent who's holding their child, who's crying at Walmart because he or she thought they had gotten lost. And the parent is saying, "Why were you so scared? Why are you crying? I was one aisle over." Oh, you of little faith. Half empty, half full. Now, I'm not saying that Peter didn't have his bad moments. You can be the most half-full person in the world, and you can't deny the brother messed up. He was a piece of work. Peter actually rebuked Jesus. Which for me is an aside, that those times and those moments in your life when you've been mad at God, you've been angry, and you've said some things that you feel really bad about, take it. He can take it. Peter rebukes Jesus. Jesus is talking about his death that he's going to have to go through. It is the reason he came. And Peter says, "Far be it from you, Lord. This will never happen to you." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. Because to do it your way means no one gets saved." And then when the soldiers came to take Jesus away, it was Peter who draws his sword and cuts off the ear of the servant of the high priest. Now step back and just look at that for a minute. Why did this fisherman have a sword? Did he even know what he was doing with it? Or was he just scared about what was supposed to be happening? And I know we can lose some stuff in the translation, but I see servant of the high priest, not one of the soldiers. Thinking, Peter, come on, dude, you cut the ear off of the butler? This, you messed up again. And this is another just aside that hit me this morning. Could you imagine being that servant, whatever his role really was? He gets his ear cut off, and Jesus puts it back on. Do you think he became a believer? Do you think he looked at the high priest and said, "It is him"? I just think that's an amazing story. And then, of course, most famously, we have Peter, who said to the Lord, "These other disciples might leave you and desert you. I will never. I will never." And then three times, he denies that he even knows Jesus. Now, with Peter's ups and downs, with those in your mind, I'd like you to watch a video with it. But I'd like you to keep your ups and downs in mind as we watch this. Amen. Amen. Peter was impacted by an outside force that changed his identity and his purpose. That outside force was mercy and grace from God, the love of the Father through his Son, and by the work of the Holy Spirit, Peter was changed from a loud, brash, and impetuous, untrained and unschooled fisherman into one who, just as Jesus said, would play a key role in starting the greatest movement this world has ever known. In Matthew 16, Jesus said, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And it happened. In three different ways, Peter preached to the Jews on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 were saved. Then he was present when the Samaritans received the Holy Spirit in Acts 8. And then he was called into the home of a Roman centurion named Cornelius, who also believed and received the Holy Spirit in Acts 10. In this way, Peter unlocked three different worlds, and he opened the door of the church to Jews, Samaritans, Romans, Gentiles, right? But even as an apostle filled with the Spirit, Peter experienced some growing pains. At first, he didn't want to take the gospel to Cornelius, a Gentile. But when he saw that the Romans had received the Holy Spirit, he understood God does not show favoritism. And Galatians tells us that while in Antioch, Peter would worship with Gentile believers, but when some legalistic Jews arrived, he kind of backed away from the Gentile Christians just to appease the Jews. And Paul called him out to his face on that, said, "That is hypocrisy." So obviously, Peter continued to have his ups and downs as a believer, kind of like you and me. But what mattered most is that he knew in his heart that because of Christ, he had a new identity and a new purpose. As the band comes up, I just want to go over a couple of lessons that I think we can take away from our story of Peter, especially as we head into a new year. Number one, Jesus overcomes fear. Whether he was stepping out of a boat into the middle of a storm or stepping into a Gentile home for the first time, Peter found courage in following Christ. What scares you about following Christ? What scares you about the coming year? Because 1 John 4 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." Jesus forgives unfaithfulness. We see this so strongly in how Jesus restored Peter and set him on assignment to start the church, even after his biggest mess up of all. So no matter what you've done, he is faithful. 2 Timothy says, "If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself." Jesus patiently teaches. Jesus is the rabbi. We are his students. Over and over again, Peter needed correction, and the Lord gave it with patience, firmness, love. Jesus looks for students willing to learn, and he says to those students, he says to us, "I will instruct you, and I will teach you in the ways you should go." Jesus sees us as he intended us to be. If you knew, if you know some of the testimonies in this room, you know that we have changed. And if you walk with each other very long, we can see there is still room for even more change. The very first time they met, Jesus changes Simon's name to Peter. In the eyes of Christ, this rough and reckless fisherman was a firm and faithful rock. How does he see you? What has he called you to? Because Philippians 1:6 says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion." And lastly, Jesus uses unlikely heroes. Peter was a fisherman from Galilee. But Jesus called him to be a fisher of men. And because Peter was willing to leave all that he had to follow Jesus, God used him in great ways. I love Acts 4:13 because it says that as Peter preached, people were amazed at his boldness. They knew he's unschooled and he's untrained. Oh, but then they recognized he's been with Jesus. That's what we need. Because being with Jesus makes all the difference. And as we wrap up this morning, we look back over Peter's story today. Let's look forward at our year, at our coming up year. I just want to run three things by you and invite you to come back to the connection point. Shepherds are going to be back there. We'd love to pray with you, especially over these three things. In our story today, we see that Andrew took Simon to Jesus, and Jesus turned him into Peter the Rock, a hero of our faith. As we look forward into this next year, who can you take to Jesus? Who can you bring to Jesus? Number two, is there anything in your life that is holding you back, like Peter, especially in the video, that you think it'll take the rest of my life to make up for what I did? And that is not what Jesus came for. He came to set you free from that. And have you truly experienced this outside force, this person of Jesus coming into your life and giving you a purpose and a new identity? And if you don't know that for sure, we want to talk to you about that. We would love for you to start this new year as a new creation in Christ. So please, if you have anything, any questions or anything to pray about, please just join us in the corner. After service, during the last song. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, for being God with us, coming down here for us, going through what you went through, resurrecting, rising again, and sending your Holy Spirit that we could walk in victory over sin and death. That we could work out our salvation, our sanctification with you, with each other. We look back and we see your faithfulness. We look ahead and we want to be found faithful. Come, Holy Spirit, and lead us in that, please. In Jesus' name, amen.